All right, look up here in the studio. Usually, I am bringing this man's cell phone sometime, you know, real close to the election cycle. Secretary of State John Merrill joining us in studio. Thanks for being here.
Sean, thank you for having me as your guest, brother. It's always good to be with you, but always better in person, in studio.
That's right. And as you canvass the state of Alabama, I've been in the secretary's office doing radio shows maybe 2 years ago or last year, and you have a map there with all the pins from the different places you stop in the state. You don't miss much in the 67 counties.
Try not to, my friend. And we've been very fortunate. Just since January the 1st of this year, we've already been to 28 of the 67 counties.
See what I'm talking about, y'all?
For 75 unique visits already. So excited about that.
When you go there, I mean, is it sometime to be there and just see folks, or is it usually
Well, like today,
kind of,
yeah. I had a meeting in Atmore in Escambia County with a legislator, Greg Albritton,
sure.
Chairman of General Fund,
sure,
as well as economic development professional there that works to make sure that they're doing all they need to do in that county to ensure that they're serving the needs of their people in the infrastructure improvement and rural development for water, sewer, and things like that.
Let's talk about the job of the Secretary of State and just going through what was a at least confusing voting cycle for some people, some states. Alabama seemed to get it better than other states. So, you know,
thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, it was mild confusion of one state turned out to be the huge confusion of another state. And then you look at other states that said, no, we got this.
Sure. And of course, just 2 weeks ago, we were named as the number one state in the union for election integrity for the 2020 cycle. That's never happened in the history of Alabama.
So it's the polar opposite of all the states we ended up talking about
the
election.
And we're excited about that, to be able to take that level of competency and election security, transparency, and accountability in our election administration to other states. And that's what I'm doing now as the chairman of the National Commission on Election Integrity. So this is a very, very exciting time to be an election official. Who ever thought anybody would say that, my brother?
Well, if you're doing this nationally, you can fight the fight here in Alabama and show that obviously they saw you get the notice, but you can't. What can you change? What goes on in some other state?
Well, that's a great point. You know, I spoke to all the lieutenant governors just last Thursday, and I was telling them in my presentation, you want to do something to correct your election issues in your state? The first thing that each one of you needs to do is you need to look at the election laws in your state related to your state. And you need to make sure that in every local jurisdiction in your state, they're following the laws that are already on the books. Because, and I use these states as examples. I said, in the 15 counties in Arizona, they're not doing that. In the 16 counties in Nevada, they're not doing that. The 67 counties in Pennsylvania and the 67 counties in California, they're not doing that. In the 46 counties in South Carolina, they're not doing that. And in the 159 counties in Georgia, everybody knows they're not doing that. So you need to make sure your states are following your own laws first before you start trying to pass new laws for election administration.
So how do you do that, though? Let's say there's 158. I mean, before an election, sure. Here's program. Here's our policy. But on election day, I know I've talked to you. You're very busy, but you can't be at every place policing everything.
But, Sean, that's why you have to have trained professionals who know what they're doing. In this instance, the probate judges in our county, the circuit clerks in our counties, the sheriffs in our counties, the registrars in our counties, and all the poll workers that man the 1,980 polling sites. In doing that, it puts us in a position to know that even though something may be going wrong, that at least everybody's been trained and everybody knows what their responsibility is and everybody knows what they should be doing. And that's the key. It's not that somebody that's in Escambia County or somebody that's in Conecuh County or somebody that's in Cleburne County is going to go out and do what they want to on their own. That's the anomaly. And we don't see that in Alabama, but whenever it's introduced to us, we give it attention immediately, such with the situation that we had a few years ago with curbside voting. So whenever that happens, you know to be on top of it.
Right. And talk about that, too, because the challenges of this last election cycle in the general, pandemic, absentee, curbside voting, have to navigate all that. This question that comes back to it, and you talked about it the other day for I don't know if you use the right term, no-fault absentee or no-excuse absentee voting. Can you explain that to me versus what it had been?
Well, absolutely. You know, the bill. One of the things that we do every time we have the administration of an election is we go back and we look at the things that happened, and then we see where we could improve or where we need to make sure that we go forward in what we're doing. This election was no different. So we had four things that we wanted to do. And in addition to that, we had legislators, as they always do, will bring bills on their own about mm-hmm. things that are important to them. So my legislative liaison brought this bill for no excuse absentee voting to me and said, Representative Laura Hall from Huntsville is doing this. Is this something that you think we'd be in support of? And I said, no, but it may be something that we can improve. And so let's look at it. So we added the things that we thought were necessary. What are those things? Number one, you recall that we were able to open absentee ballots at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. during this election cycle instead of noon. Well, we had to do that through an executive order from the governor. Okay. But that needs to be codified. Number two, we had to embrace the fact that some people were not going to be able to get their absentee ballots in on time because the deadline is the application has to be returned no later than 5 days before the election. Then the ballot has to be in no later than noon on election day. So we looked at changing the deadline. Instead of it being 5 days for mail-in, make it 10 days. So okay. pushing it back out so there's enough time to turn them around.
Okay.
And then third, to make sure that there were enough people that were working the polls. So if you needed them, you could add a couple of folks to the process. And last but not least, there's some confusing language related to postmarking of absentee ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that as long as they're postmarked by a certain day, as long as they're received by a certain day, they'll be counted. Well, really none of that matters. The only thing that matters is whether or not it's received by a certain day.
Right. And that's, oh my gosh, that brings up a whole side question, but people can go look at the Twitter feed. I put up pictures late last week. We checked the mailbox here at the radio station.
Yes, sir.
And we had mail from as early as September
right.
on through. I mean, publications like I got a copy of the Call News newspaper from November, had stuff from Blue Cross Blue Shield from September 3rd and 4th, had invoices. People, I'm just telling y'all our business. I mean, people that are customers of ours, we said, hey, you, check coming? Sent the check a month ago. Their checks were just, I had a whole, I mean, this really just happened here.
Right.
So that's my worry about this is, like, how do you
and
back
see,
it up far
thing,
enough?
Like with the postmarks, for example.
Yeah, but if you get that now, okay, I got it. Say there was a ballot in there and I got it now.
That's right. It's not counting.
It's March 1st.
Exactly. And it's not counting. And that's what I told somebody is the reason we don't need the postmark there is because I'm surprised somebody didn't file a lawsuit last time about that issue.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had mailed their absentee ballot back to us on September the 15th and it was received on November the 4th, it's still not counting. Nor should it because it didn't arrive by the deadline. Now, we already passed legislation to enable people to be able to return their ballots in a way other than using the mm-hmm. Postal Service. They use FedEx, UPS, DHL, whatever it is
right.
that they choose. But that's their option. But when we looked at the no-excuse absentee ballot provision, the eliminating
right, which
those,
it used to be, kind of give me like the – that used to be you had to, but doctor appointment or
you're sick,
out of town,
you're,
out of the country.
Yeah, ill or infirmed. I'm out of county on election day. I'm having to work a double shift. There's 10 different things.
Okay.
I'm
so
away in school. I'm incarcerated.
Right.
All these different things. And so we said, well, that can be a vehicle that we can ride. But I can tell you that it became very clear to us that that's not a debate that the Alabama legislature wants to have. And so my recommendation is to Laura Hall, who mm-hmm. is the person that's carrying that bill,
yeah.
as and it was laid on the table last week when it was up for debate, is that she just not continue to advance that legislation. That's not productive for the state. It's not going to be productive for her. We're going to get a separate vehicle, a new
okay.
bill that we're going to bring and talk about the things that I said that we added to that bill so that those things can be put in place with another vehicle if the body thinks that it's meritorious of consideration.
So as we look at that, it's going to be not as laid out by Representative Hall, but it is some adjustment or some growth in that.
Yes, because we're not for no excuse absentee voting. And we're not going to let that be the vehicle that's a part of this, because that discussion is not going to be productive.
You know, I wonder with this and getting noticed nationally for what we've done here on elections, is there a time that what, and I don't know who judges for that whole group, would want something for us that we wouldn't as Alabamians think is right?
No, because one of the things that we're doing with the commission is we are putting together best practice legislation. So my vision for the team that's made up of five secretaries and 22 legislators from around the nation is that we have a product, a piece of legislation that was passed, statutory language, that you say, okay, I'm from Louisiana, and I think we need to have early in-person voting in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So my question would be, if I'm from Louisiana and I'm asking that question, what states do it right and well?
Right.
And so we want to have that language so you can adopt that language as is, or you can choose to modify the existing statutory language we're providing for you to consider.
Right. And you put some Cajun accent on it in that case. But I mean,
exactly.
But I mean, and I don't say this in a negative way, but a bit of a boilerplate that these are best practices. This works if you want to adopt it.
That have already been
tested.
Yes, sir. Just like ours is the gold standard for voter ID. And I was challenged by one of my friends who is on the commission, who's the secretary from Tennessee. He said, well, John, you used Alabama as the standard for voter ID. He said, we have a strong voter ID law. I said, yeah, but it's not as good as ours.
There you go.
And he said, well, why do you say that? I said, because we went to the Supreme Court twice last year. Not the Alabama Supreme Court.
Right.
The United States Supreme Court. And it was upheld. I said, our voter ID law is the gold standard because our law is the only law in the nation that's the same today as it was when Robert Bentley signed it after we passed it in 2011.
No adjustments to
it.
No,
sir. None.
Just a minute and a half left here, but let's talk about this going forward. Do you have faith that we get this corrected in the states, the other states, the next cycle? Because I got people who say they're never going to vote again.
Sure.
Secretary, they say, I'm never voting. I don't believe what happens. I'm never voting again.
But you know, the main thing we've got to do, Sean, is we have to instill confidence in the voter. The voter has got to know that when they cast their ballot, it's going to count for the candidate of their choice. And if
there's people who talk to me all the time that don't feel that that's true.
That's right. And so we have to show them how, of course, people believe in Alabama that it's true, but they're worried about these other states.
Other states, exactly.
And so we want them to adopt our mantra and to say that we're going to make it easy to vote and hard to cheat. And if you're doing that in your state, people will regain confidence in the process and then they'll participate.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you,
brother. Stopping by. We'll get to talk again soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. There he is, Secretary of State of the state of Alabama, and the man who's 28 counties in already at this point. He's coming to a county near you soon. That's Secretary of State John Merrill. Coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile.